My soul has often found relief. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire. Thy return with such a
morning. Of course, you're in and surrounding areas. I hope you're picking us up on the radio station. Happy Mother's Day to those caregivers out there that have juggling all kinds of things at one time. This week has been an amazing. We had Teacher's Day. We had World Day of Prayer. And we had Nurses Day. And now we have Mother's Day. Even just an hour to thank God for those people. But more importantly, to put a heart, a smile on our hearts. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our Savior. And we're so glad that you joined us. So,
here's my phone.
My amazing husband is going to tell us all about things.
Oh. My shirt's on. Good morning. We hope you're picking up the signal. We are not registering on our in-house radio, so we're hoping the radio station has picked us up. So this may be redundant that I am saying this. Waiting for confirmation. We're also going to call the radio station. If indeed they have not.
Somebody's calling us on the phone.
Sounds like the church phone. We cannot reach the church phone from here. And if we got there, it'd be hung up. Okay, we'll just hold here. If you are picking up the signal, we are waiting for confirmation from the radio station. We'll adjust all the times accordingly. WPHM is on the directory.
I know, I'm looking for it.
You can go to Google to WPHM, and you'll see that just press a button for the phone. If you can't get it out of the directory, you got to do speed. Time is money.
Gotta love live broadcast.
Yes. And this whole thing could be live. We don't know it.
If you can hear us, send us a Facebook message.
Yeah, we can pick up Facebook here. We may not get your phone call. What?
They announced us again.
They did last week
but
twice.
I'm not hearing anything.
False starts. Well, we hope you're hearing us. WPHM, please correct. Last week when I played back this on the podcast,
service of our Savior Lutheran Church.
Third time?
You're on AM 1380 WPHM.
We are here. Hello? Here.
It was Mary Patterson that called, so maybe she either couldn't hear us or she is hearing us.
No, she's not, because he just got it on his phone. They introduced us three times. Two times, okay. We just heard the second, okay. We're waiting for Radio First, WPHN.
I'm calling them right now to find out what's going on.
That's what we
want. Oh, someone's calling us now.
Thank you, Mom, for getting Mary.
No, I didn't bring it because I didn't want it to.
No, I said thank you.
And I had a very special hair.
Oh, I can hear us now.
Oh.
Hey, hello, welcome.
We've been waiting for you for 5 minutes. Where you been?
Hey, WPHM, you owe us 5 minutes.
Tell the Methodist in advance, we're taking it.
Welcome, welcome, Port Huron. What an amazing day. I had this very special introduction, and it went so well the first time.
It was really good, Cheryl.
Probably going to fall flat
awesome.
On its face now, so, but.
Whatever.
This week has been an amazing week. We've gone from sunshine to rain to snow
in May.
But this week had some very special celebrations. We celebrated Teacher's Day, World Day of Prayer,
yes.
Nurses Day,
yay.
And now Mother's Day.
Yes.
So to all those caretakers, nurturers that juggle 5 million things all at the same time, we're so glad that you took some time out to be with us, and we thank God for you every day. So welcome to our Savior. We're so glad that you tuned us in. We're not going to let my husband do the introduction. No, he's in. Now he can tell who's doing what, where, when, and how now, okay?
As you know, behind the scenes, we're real people. This is not pre-recorded. We are live and deal with every crisis that comes our way. So I do want to announce that the sponsorship of today's radio broadcast is by Donna Taylor. And we give her many kudos, many thanks for sponsorship. Dedicated to mothers, those who have passed, those who are still serving in their capacity. I always like Martin Luther when he talks about parents. He says, you know, we're giving all who become parents an office afforded to us by the Almighty God. And that is to be parents, to raise, nurture, and create people in the image of God to serve the kingdom of God in this world. So the office of parenthood is an extremely good one. Even though sometimes in this culture it's devalued, God has valued it. Thank you, mothers. So, radio broadcast this day. Next week's radio broadcast is last week I indicated the Sundays of May were open. Jim Wentz sent a gift in this week. Jim, I'm sure you're listening to the podcast. Just let you know, because Donna had already scheduled this Sunday, you get next Sunday. It is in memory of Ruth Wentz's birthday, which is at the end of the month. And also in honor of the fact that she had passed away 2 years ago. We at Our Savior are well aware of that. So the flowers, Jim, that you have asked to sponsor, we'll do that when we're in-house and we have flowers. I don't want to waste them in an empty sanctuary. I think you'll understand the logic. Also got a phone call in for May 24th, and that is sponsored by Lori Parker in honor and memory of her sister Annette Pickett, who passed away but has a birthday this month. So we have opened the Sunday of May 31st, Memorial Day, if anybody would seek to sponsor that. So just let you know on that, unless you get our e-letter, you will not see, since we don't do a bulletin in-house, give you that information. We are here to worship our God this day. Still the Easter season. It is Easter 5. Remember I said there are 7 Sundays in Easter. I hope you're following us on Facebook midweek. You'll see the Facebook posting on the Our Savior page. Just to note, the last posting on the Our Savior page for last week's, I think, is over 700 viewings. That's more than I can get in church and more who listen to the radio. I guess I'll have to do 15-minute services.
Doug will like that.
Yeah, Doug Cole will love it. Anyways, we start the service with our entrance hymn as we gather in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in.
My journey of faith is always unique to anybody else's. You can turn it off. But at age 5, when I lost the sight of my vision, When I used to even walk myself to church if my parents weren't able to take me. There was something about the gathering in the house of the Lord, and it continues 55 years later. Yeah, 65 years later. Oh, geez, where did that decade go? There's something special about gathering here to do the service in the narthex and still in the house of the Lord to play the music, to worship. We continue with the thanksgiving of baptism for the Easter season. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are raised with Christ to a new life. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We do give you thanks, O God. For in the beginning you created us in your image. You planted us in a well-watered garden. In the desert, you promised pools of water for the parched. You gave us water from the rock. And when we did not know the way, you sent the good shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross, you watered us from Jesus' wounded side. On this day, you shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water, for the water in this font, for all the water everywhere. Bathe us in your forgiveness, your grace, your love. Satisfy the thirsty and give us the life only you can give us. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise we hear, His name is wonderful. And it is.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything.
And also with you.
Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow the way of his commandments, and share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 7, selected verses. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he died. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 31, and our antiphon is, Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. For you are my tower of strength. Into your hands, O Lord, I command my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Second reading comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter, and selected verses. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's only people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
On this fifth Sunday, Easter season, the gospel text for today is a continuation of last week, where he says he goes to prepare a place for us, and he goes on to speak about this. So it's from John's gospel, 14th chapter, beginning with the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to his disciples.
Scott, excuse me.
We have a special guest who's going to be preaching. I said, Scott, would you kindly read the gospel?
And I will.
Thank you, Scott.
And Jesus said to his disciples, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. So where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you'll know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does this works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not then believe because of the works themselves, very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We welcome to our preaching our student in residence, Scott Pike, soon to be certified in our synod as a lay minister.
Good morning. Greeting my brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I so love that proclamation, that statement. It's typically used during the Easter season, but if I were to walk up to any Lutheran and most Protestants and I made that statement, I would always get the same response. And I think what a wonderful world it would be if that was the greeting we used on a daily basis without embarrassment or reservation. One day we'll have that world. And I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers there. And typically in Our Savior, at the end of the Mother's Day service, our deacons would hand a flower to our mothers as they leave. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that, but if you go to the Our Savior Facebook page, I have left you a virtual flower, and that's the best I can do. And as I said, unfortunately, we're not able to gather today in person. This pandemic has us in lockdown, shelter in place, quarantine, grounded, whatever you want to call it. And I tend to be the eternal optimist, sometimes to my own detriment, but I try to find a silver lining to any situation. You know, and in this lockdown period, what I've come to gather is what a blessing that we live in this modern age. That even though we're confined to our homes or wherever, we have the technology that we can still gather together virtually or through computers, and we can continue to be that body of Christ in worship. And as we were told, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be. And I believe that still rings just as true when we gather in this format as any other format. So Christ is clearly with us even in this worship format. So today's gospel reading really rang true to the life and the new norm that we are going through now with me. So today, Jesus is making a final statement to his disciples. He's about to be arrested, and he knows he needs to, anything he wants to say, he needs to do rather quickly. And Jesus is being very direct and very to the point in his statements now. Parables are not going to work. He needs to say it straight to let the disciples know what's going on. And as we know, the disciples are gathered and they're in this room and there's a great deal of tension, anxiety. Excuse me, that's not coronavirus. There's a great deal of tension, anxiety, and a lot of fear in the room right now. They've been through a great deal to this point, and it's really only the tip of the spear. And they know that there's betrayal in the room, and Christ has told them that this is coming. So Jesus needs to reassure his disciples. He needs to try to calm their fears. So he leads with a statement in his final moments before he gets dragged off, and he starts off with, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Oh, excuse me. So I think of this particular statement And I look at the fears we're dealing with today. We're dealing with this, obviously, this coronavirus. We have issues of war and terrorism going on. We have massive unemployment and people worried about where their next paycheck is going to come from and their next meals. We're dealing with death and sickness and just outright cabin fever. People are not meant to be cooped up in one place. So I look at this fear and anxiety, and then I think the promise that Jesus gave us to not let your hearts be troubled. And how does words from 2,000 years ago, written in a book, apply to us today? And how can we use that in managing the fears we're dealing with right now? Today's time and place, what I noticed is we are in a time of doubt, a time of hurting. And if you look at the world around us, we see that depression and anxiety disorders, they're on the rise. We're seeing diagnoses every single day. We're seeing numbers going up. We're becoming a medicated society for every depression, anxiety. According to the World Health Organization, at least the numbers I could find, over the last 45 years, suicide rates worldwide have risen by 60%. It's predicted by 2020, which is this year, that there's going to be a suicide every 20 seconds in the world. That is a terrifying number. And then as I looked at it a little further, I looked up the most recent Gallup poll I could find, and from 2019, their poll shows that church attendance has declined by 23% in the last 20 years. So I have to look at this. We see mental health issues are on the rise, suicides are up, and attendance in church is down. What is that telling us? Is there a correlation there? I'd let you think about that and make your own decision to see if we're following the right path, if medication and psychobabble is the way we need to go to find our place and our peace in the world. And then I go back to Christ's promise again. I go back to that, fear not. And a little research I did was, fear not is mentioned in the Bible 365 times. I found that number pretty interesting. 365 times, 365 days in the year. Now, is that just a coincidence? Or is God just telling us, look, I'm here for you. Every single day I'm here for you. So as Christ has given this message to his disciples, he has the foreknowledge. He has the knowledge that we have by reading the book. We know the end of the story. He knows the end of the story. And he's not only trying to calm the fear of the disciples and the anxiety and all that sadness that's permeating their lives in the room, but he's preparing them for the future that's going to be ahead of them. And he knows it is not going to be an easy future. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be fraught with danger and threats and assaults and so on. But he's telling them, I'm here for you. Even though this is going to be bad, don't be afraid. I'm here for you. And when I think about this message isn't just for the disciples. And just as all the teachings of Christ, this is for everybody. This is for the entire world. 2,000 years later, this promise still rings with the same truth and the same veracity as it did then. So we need to ask ourselves, are we prepared? Are we willing to receive Christ's promise? Are we ready to freely accept this as fact and not just empty promises? And do we really need to be worrying? What it came down to me as I was thinking about this, and this is my view, is it becomes our relationship with Christ. And again, we're looking at a 2,000-year-old promise, and how does one look at something that's been written so many years ago, find it in context for our lives today, embrace it, and find ourselves comforted by it? And what it came down to is it's a relationship. And then I thought about it. Let's look at it from a perspective of a child. Now, if you're a parent, I think you can relate to this, and some children. With an additional guest in our bed afterwards, looking for safety and security. Apparently my mic wasn't working. So, and I recall myself when I think about my children's fears, many years ago, as most people know, in my real life, I'm a police officer, but as a young police officer, I found myself oblivious to the fears of my children. And my wife told me one day that my daughters were afraid that I would be shot on the job. And kind of took me back. I really didn't pay attention to what my family was feeling. So when I came home from work, I brought my bulletproof vest home. I showed it to my daughters. I let them pound on it and let them know that I was protected. And Christ is my bulletproof vest as well. But I had to recognize that there was a fear, and I needed to address that fear. And if we look at today, if we look at our own fears, our own anxieties, our griefs, our depressions, where are we going to seek that same comfort and safety of a child? What is going to do it for us? What's going to offer you the words, the company that's going to help you? Are we going to seek that out from our family and our friends? Do those words help us? Or do we look for the likes on Facebook? Which is the genuine comfort? I go back to your family and friends will be that comfort. It's not going to be those superficial platitudes you're going to get on the internet. And the same thing is with our Lord. We have to have that relationship. We need to be able to accept as true the promises given to us by our Lord and that intimate relationship of our Father. Now I look at this a little further and I wonder as I see church attendance declining, I see studies where faith is kind of taking a back seat, but what we know is every time there's a calamity, faith skyrockets for a short time and then goes back down as soon as the calamity is over. But to keep this promise alive, we have a responsibility. We need to take on the lessons. We need to study. We need to talk. We need to understand the faith that has been given to us. It is not merely enough that we say we believe in God. We have to build that relationship, that intimacy, to believe that our Father is with us. Ask yourselves, when's the last time you looked at the Word or had somebody read it to you? Do we just gather with others? Do we learn? Do we debate upon what we believe? Is worship truly a praise to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Or are we just following a script and just going through the motions we do on every Sunday? Are the sacraments of baptism, communion, and confirmation, are they more than just rituals? Are they changing your life? And when you finally do come into that true relationship, I can guarantee you your heart, your being, and your soul will find a genuine comfort and peace. For me personally, I finally started to find that personal relationship in my own worship and prayer. And it became a truly intimate experience. And what I know coming through life is that everybody has a different learning and thought process. As for me personally, I tend to think in a visual form. It's like a snapshot or a movie in my brain. During the times of prayer, I imagine myself sitting at the foot of Christ, telling him my worries and my concerns and my thanks. And when I take communion, I feel Christ behind me, hand on my shoulder, smiling at my earthly father on my other side. What I ask you now is we take this promise given to us by Christ, not just for this current situation or even the remainder of our life. The rest of Jesus' statement to his disciples is an assurance of a life to come. In that statement, he says, "In my Father's house there are many homes. And if it weren't so, I would have told you so. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." For Christians everywhere, this promise is everything to us. It tells us that our relationship with our Father will not only be a matter of faith and worship, but we'll live in the presence of our Lord. And I ask today, may the grace of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Thank you very much, Scott. As you were speaking about, gives us confidence in Jesus Christ and the boogeyman, and we might want to crawl under our beds. 10 days ago, one of the youth of our church sang on Facebook a song which, one of my favorites, when VeggieTales was more popular 25 years ago and 20 years ago, and Jennifer Hudson's son, Wyatt Creech, sang it on Facebook with no notes, and he sang it beautifully. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monster on TV. Yes, my God's bigger than the boogeyman. Yes, this God of ours, even through the lips of a child, understands the simple concept that somehow in our aging we forget. The hymn of the day this day is "In Christ Alone." This has been sung in our congregation by soloists here at Our Savior, but here we hear it from CD, "In Christ Alone," along with our theme.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in
We have heard that message in Christ Alone, both in the proclamation of the word by Scott Pike, as well as in the hymn of the church, In Christ Alone. So we affirm this faith, the personalization of that relationship in the creed, in which God welcomed us to God's family in our waters of baptism. Together we affirm, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hope leads us as assisting minister in our prayers.
Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Build us up, Mothering God, as living stones united in your spiritual house. Continually strengthen your church as it is sent forth to proclaim your love. We pray especially for the new congregations and those in redevelopment. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Humble us, Creator God, as part of your creation. Fill us with respect and awe for the world you have made, including volcanoes, ocean currents, tropical rainstorms, glaciers, and other forces that both destroy and create. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Align our ways to your love, O God. We pray for countries, leaders, and other organizations as they prepare places for those seeking refuge and safety. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of healing and rest, help those whose hearts are heavy and weighed down by many troubles. Comfort their suffering, ease their distress, and carry their burdens.
Gracious God, we would think comfortably upon the life of Donna Taylor as she awaits for the next few months determination of her health and if further treatments are needed. Guard and keep her and all, Lord, suffered from this disease and for all affected by it in their grieving or in their treatments. Lord, in your mercy.
Nurturing God, we pray for those who tend and teach young children, for the safe pregnancies of expecting parents, and for families who struggle with infertility and miscarriage. We give thanks for all who have shown mothering care, and remember all of for whom this day is difficult. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Generous God, you call into your brilliant light all who have died. Give us faith to take hold of the promise of your eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and most merciful God, we call to mind before you all whom it is easy to forget, those who are homeless, destitute, sick, isolated, and those who have no one to care for them. May we bring help and healing for those who are broken in body or spirit, that they might have comfort in sorrow, company in loneliness, and a place of safety and warmth through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. With boldness of faith in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we have prayed this day and throughout our lives into your eternal care. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us continue in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time in the service, if we were in-house in the sanctuary, we would receive our gifts, because response to the word of God is also a rededication of ourselves. The offering taken is not so much to get money for the church, or church is always asking for money. No. Give yourself back to God, the source of your life, the source of your possessions. Share with God and with God's people. That's our obligation. This is not something we should do begrudgingly. So for us as a congregation, you can make transfer through bank. More people are contacting me saying they did it through their bank. You can do it by mailing it to the church. I would give you a number, but I don't want to put it over the radio. Quite a few use the mail service. Daily picked up at the church and in-housed and securely placed. Don't be afraid of security. We are always here to pick it up from the mail. So please take care of that. Remind you that we're still doing our collection for construction for Mid-City Nutrition. Gifts for Food Depot, they're greatly needed. But also for the organ repair, which took place earlier in 2020, we're still over $1,000 short. So if you have the ability, help us to offset that cost. We continue then with our offering prayer.
Merciful God, our ordinary gifts seem small for such a celebration, but you make of them an abundance, just as you do with our lives. Feed us again at this table for service in your name in the strength of the risen Christ.
Amen. Amen. Our offering hymn is one from the Gaithers, "The Longer I Serve Him." That's what offering's all about, serving God. May the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. personal Amen. Word of thanksgiving for Scott Pike, bringing God's word. I think it's neat that every other week he's been doing that for us. It gives the listener an opportunity to have variety in this limited format, doing the radio. The closing hymn is You'll Never Walk Alone. You're going to love it, because if you remember back in your TV experience, Jerry Lewis, and muscular dystrophy, he always closed every show every year at Labor Day. But it's bigger than Jerry Lewis. So if you'll...
Christ is risen, just as he said, go in peace, share the good news, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. And our close, hallelujah, we have our closing hymn.
Wishing you God's blessings for the coming week. Take a couple moments every day and thank God for your life, for your family's life. Poor Huron, it's sunny out.
Take a moment,
absolutely. Take a moment, smile and enjoy that wonderful vitamin D that's coming our way. Have a great, great week. Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Hallelujah.